May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. In the Godly Play program that we have here at St. Patrick's, the children begin by quieting their bodies and centering their attention in a sacred space. They are preparing to listen to God's word so that they can wonder what God might be saying to them that day. When leading Godly Play, I take particular joy in telling parables, like the one we heard in the gospel lesson today. Godly Play parables are precious stories, gifts. And in Godly Play, the items used to tell the story are kept in boxes that are painted gold. They are precious. Parables are gifts. But parables are unlike any other gift. First, they were given to us before we were born. We don't have to take them. They are already ours. We simply have to open them up. Second, every time we open a parable, even if we've heard it before, the gift is new. Parables are like that. They open a world of possibilities, inviting us to learn about the kingdom of God and what it means to live in that kingdom. At the core of Godly Play is the practice of learning through imagination, gaining new insights for the sake of being transformed by God's love. Remember, learn is one of the practices of the way of love that we talked about in Epiphany. These practices are not once and done, but are rather practiced, thus practices. We practice them over and over again so that we may continue to center our lives on the life-giving ways of Jesus. So remember, learn is the call to read and reflect on Scripture daily, especially the life and teachings of Jesus, so that we might draw near to God and God's word might dwell in us. So today, let's return to the practice of learning together. Learning is deep in my bones, in my DNA, you might say. Perhaps it's because both my parents were teachers. Life was a series of teachable moments. Walking upstairs, literally, we counted at 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and walking down the basement, you guessed it, was an opportunity to learn the negative numbers. As we placed each foot down a step, we counted 0, -1, -2, -3. I'm not joking. My stuffed animals literally were triangles, squares, and circles with arms and legs. And my brother and I were required to write essays on TV shows we watched. So be thankful that your parents don't make you do that. But far from turning me off from learning, these practices oriented my life toward being open to new ideas and new insights, a lifelong passion for learning. Learn. So when Presiding Bishop Michael Curry commends us to a life of learning, it is not just any learning, not just the number line, but learning from the greatest of all teachers, Jesus. And what a better text to preach about learning than a parable. So today we explore the parable we heard, the parable of the condemned fig tree. We'll do so Godly Play style, but with a twist. Together we will wander through a set of 5 imperatives, a process proposed by theologian Bernard Lonergan. Be attentive, be intelligent, be reasonable, be responsible, and be in love. So be attentive. Pay attention to your experience, to your senses, to your feelings and intuition and imagination. And upon this evidence, you will form ideas, hunches that might be right or wrong, and later what you think you understand will depend upon what you have sensed or imagined, what you have paid attention to or not. So be attentive. Open yourself to God's transforming love and listen with all your senses. What word does Jesus have for you today? What do you see, hear, feel, or smell in the garden with that fig tree? What catches your imagination? Listen again. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came looking for the fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting soil?" And the gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. I see a young, fruitless fig tree in a vineyard, and the rough and dirty hands of a gardener. I hear footsteps of the owner walking in the garden, disappointment, even condemnation on his face as he notices a barren tree. But I also notice the loving words of the gardener. Let it alone for one more year, and I feel hope." Be intelligent, the second imperative. This second imperative asks you to inquire about the meaning of your experience. What does what you have noticed mean? Experiencing something is different from understanding its meaning and implications for living. Be intelligent as you interpret what you have seen, heard, or sensed. Challenge yourself to see with new eyes. I wonder what parts of my life are fruitless, like the fig tree, yet filled with possibility. I wonder, who is this gardener? Hands already rough and dirty from the hard work of loosening soil, and prepared to pile manure on the roots of plants in this vineyard. Does this gardener dream of figs too plentiful to harvest when he implores the owner, "Sir, let it alone for one more year"? This parable invites me to look at where my life is barren. I wonder what parts of the world are fruitless like this fig tree, but filled with possibility. This week, my attention is drawn to the reality of hatred in this world, particularly to the shootings in New Zealand, where 50 Muslims were killed while at prayer. And my attention is drawn to Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who instead of promising vengeance has gathered a people to mourn and affirm the values of kindness, compassion, and generosity, and has issued a global call to create an environment where white nationalism cannot flourish. The gardener asks the owner for time to loosen the roots of the tree and heap on it the manure it needs to grow. This is what Jacinda Ardern is doing. She is being a gardener. Lonergan's third imperative, be reasonable. Insights can occur spontaneously as well as after considered reflection on one's own experience, but are they correct? Parables are meant to upend our understanding, and there may be several ways, some even contradictory ways, to understand parables and events of life. Determining which meaning rings most true requires reasonable judgment. When hearing the words of Jesus in Scripture, it's often helpful, that is, reasonable, to widen the lens and look at the passages before and after. And this parable comes on the heels of a dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, who are concerned about people who have suffered great violence. "Do you think," they say, "that these Galileans suffered in this way? They were worse sinners than all other Galileans? Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem?" And twice Jesus answers, "No. But unless you repent, you will perish just as they did." This parable follows two calls by Jesus to repent. What might that mean? How might the parable of the fig tree fit into a call to repent? And indeed, the gardener tells the vineyard owner, if after a year the fig tree does not bear fruit, you may cut it down. Yet on this day, the gardener begs the owner, "Sir, let it alone for one more year." The Greek word for "let it alone" is aphes, which actually is elsewhere translated as forgive. This was the word Jesus used when he taught his disciples to pray, "Father, hallowed be your name, forgive us our sins." Aphes, our sins. Forgive this fruit tree for not being fruitful. The tender, imploring words of this gardener tells us of God's unfathomable mercy, God yearns for all life to bear fruit and works tirelessly, getting down into the muck and manure as God did around the first, when walking around the first garden, getting hands muddy to shake humanity out of dirt. God is still willing to get into the muck of our lives, into our brokenness, our hopelessness, the mess, to loosen the soil of our souls, to enrich our lives. Forgive this fruit tree. Forgive our sins. Forgive our hatred and our violence that is in this world. And God has forgiven us. Now, these are the meanings to which I am drawn to this day. What words and meanings capture your imagination? Live with them for a while. Do they make sense in light of other experiences you have had? Remain open to new possibilities. The fourth imperative is be responsible. Having judged what you consider to be true, based upon your experience and reflection on your experience, you now face the question, what am I going to do about it? What commitments will you make? What risks will you take to act responsibly? Jesus rarely explains the meanings of parables. Instead, following many parables, he simply shows his disciples the kingdom of God by enacting it. For example, after the Sermon on the Mount, where he tells several parables, Jesus cleanses a leper and heals a centurion's daughter. After the parable of the new and old wineskins, Jesus cures a man with a withered hand. And after this parable, Jesus heals a woman bent over and unable to stand straight. Parables are a call to be responsible, to join God in bringing the kingdom to fruition in loving acts that liberate one another from our hopelessness, our brokenness, and all that keeps us from life abundant. Let it alone for one more year, the gardener implored. What might this mean for you today, this week, or this year? What roots of compassion are you invited to loosen in your life? How are you called to join Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern in weaving a new narrative that cultivates a garden that will not tolerate hatred and works to reduce the possibility of violence? Lonergan's final imperative is to be in love transformed. Be in relationship with God. God offers you, as revealed in your experience, and what you have discerned to be true and what you have decided to do. Being in love means being open to transformation in God. So today's parable invites us into a practice of wondering, like children, with our imaginations, what is God saying today? How is God asking us to loosen our roots, orient our life to receive God's love and forgiveness? Reading scripture, particularly the ones about the one who got into the muck to bring us life, is fertilizer for the soul and for the kingdom of God. So be attentive, be intelligent, be reasonable, be responsible, and in all things, be in love transformed. Amen.